Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 12 of Marketing Elements Podcast. And on today's podcast, we have Sam Jenkins, who's the CEO of Brightwave Marketing here in Atlanta. And they specialize in email marketing, if I'm correct.
That is correct, Tim.
So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So one thing we want to talk about today, we talked a little before this, is how email is affecting social and vice versa. So right now, like you told me beforehand, that email is becoming a big driving force in social. Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Well, I think I'll take a step back, too, because people love to make big generalizations, and they often end up with the comment of emails dying because, and the biggest one to kind of sweep the digital world is social is killing email, and in fact it's quite the opposite. You know, email's driving the bulk of social's traffic. Social is really helping people grow their email database, and then the best companies and brands are using some pretty cool integrated approaches that take, you know, for example, email and drive you to complete a conversation on Facebook. So the companies that are going to miss out are the ones that are either saying, you know, I'm not going to be doing email because I'm going to do social, or I'm not going to be doing social because we're already heavily invested in email. That's pretty short-sighted, and I think search has always, in my mind, previously been email's probably number one complementary digital tool, and I think social is quickly giving search a big run for its money, and it's something that, you know, we're frankly excited about. A lot of our clients, where it makes sense, are using social to where email is the primary driver and social is the way to further engage them and drive a deeper conversation. It's not as often tangible from a revenue standpoint, but it's a natural way where email gets your attention, drives you to a platform like Facebook or LinkedIn, and then you continue that dialogue, which can have a real long tail to it and generate some strong relationships, and that's really powerful, and the companies that are doing that well are going to succeed and build stronger relationships with their customer base.
Yeah,
I think everyone in digital wants to be doing, regardless of the channel.
Definitely. I think that's true, because I've noticed that more and more emails I've been getting are driving me to Facebook, their Facebook page, and then they're having a lot more content there as opposed to you could get in an email. Because email marketing,
right.
You want to kind of short, sweet, get to the point, and no one wants to read a 3-page long email.
Right, and I think you also at the same time have to go beyond the button, where most companies say that, yeah, we've integrated social in our email program, and that consists of just a Facebook or Twitter link, which people are not going to interact with on their own, regardless of being passionate and active on those channels. You have to figure out, why would I share this email with my network on Facebook, or why would I want to retweet this email link on Twitter. So, the ones that are thinking things through and really giving their customers the tools and ways to continue the conversation are going to be the winners. The people that are just sticking in a logo, they're the ones that, they've got a ways to go.
Yeah, I think email is going to be a little more, hopefully going forward, be a little more interactive like that. And not just, I think more and more companies are realizing that you have to actually sit down and engage your customer and not just push out messages. So, and that's one thing I think is coming in both, that's already happening in social, but it's going to happen more so in email as well.
Absolutely.
Because I know I hate just buy, because there's one company that every day they send out like a new email, and I'm just going, could you give it a rest already?
Yeah, and they'll eventually lose you, or maybe they've already lost you. And too many companies use email just as solely a short-term sales channel. And, you know, maybe you've signed up for monthly emails, and all of a sudden during the recession, they started sending those weekly or daily. And, and the CFO may say, well, you know, these emails work, they generate revenue, but at the same time, you're hurting the long-term relationship, and you've essentially violated that trust that happened during the permission agreement when you opted into the program. So there's a big give and take, and I think frequency, as you also you mentioned length, those are two of the biggest things that are going to determine whether you're successful in email or not. I think that the companies that really succeed are the ones that respect their customers and subscribers. And, you know, there's others that just blitz you with promotions only. And, you know, that may work for certain lines of business, but ultimately email just can't survive only if you're sending, you know, six promotions a week. And, you know, many a retailer is guilty of that. And, you know, it works eventually, but I know I've unsubscribed from probably 70% of the retailers that I initially have signed up with, you know, everyone from Neiman Marcus to Restoration Hardware to, you know, Walmart. You know, they've just become overwhelming, and you end up just opting out or emotionally unsubscribing.
Yeah. I think, though, one of the best email marketing programs around, though, likely is Chick-fil-A's.
Well, thank you. We're they're a client, and we're proud.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know that. Yeah, I've really enjoyed Chick-fil-A. They're, I will tell you, one of the few, anytime I get something from Chick-fil-A, I open it. It's like, oh, what are we doing? Because they have which dessert do you like, the brownie or the milkshake, and share it. I thought that was brilliant.
Well, they're certainly amazing marketers, and they have an incredibly loyal customer base, which is puts you light years ahead,
yeah,
regardless of how good or bad you are in an email capacity. They've been a great partner that we've been able to really progressively grow a sophisticated email program that ultimately delivers value to their customers, and their customers really want anything related to Chick-fil-A, as long as it's clear there has value and there's benefits to it. And so we're proud of that. We've won a lot of awards this year so far on that program, and look forward to continuing the success there. But ultimately, those are the kind of things that mean a lot more than the industry awards. Hearing, you know, people like you, even though you're a marketer, the customer side of you was talking there, mm-hmm. talking about that program. At least it sounded that way, and that's great. That's what we want to hear, and that certainly resonates.
Well, the one thing I like about the email program is they're not just, oh, here's sale, we have this. It's like new products, because you always find out about what new milkshakes they have. I'm extremely excited about the, spicy chicken sandwich coming out in June, because I had a friend who was in the test market in Baltimore, and he just loves them. So I'm like, I'm ready for this sandwich. And they're always doing something like, oh, share this with your friends, which do you like better? So it's just really fun, and y'all are brilliant with that. I'm just excited every time. I'm like, oh, what's going on this week? Or what's going on this month? So it's just a lot of fun. I think a lot of more companies need to get involved with that and not just have it so it's like sales, so it's more fun, it's more information that I think a lot of companies can do, but not a lot are actually going out and doing it. They see it as sales. We're going to sell, and this is what we're going to do, and it's effective, and we don't have to really put any more effort into it. So I think that's a lot of people.
You're absolutely right, and as you said, they're quite the exception in terms of not hitting you with coupons and promotions all the time, but yet you're still looking forward to receiving an email from them. So I think it shows that, you know, email doesn't need the only coupons and promotions.
Yeah, definitely, because they constantly have new milkshakes, and I always go, what's next? So when I get the email, it's like, ooh, this one's next. So we'll run down to Chick-fil-A and get a milkshake that day or the next day usually, so... So it's one of my favorite companies, I will say.
Great to hear.
So what are some other trends you're seeing coming up in marketing email marketing that's really going to affect the inbox? Is anything?
Well, I think the meaning of the inbox has been changing rapidly in the past few years. I mean, we've adapted our business model to not only be doing email marketing but digital targeted messaging, because we think permission marketing isn't just about hitting, you know, your Hotmail account or your Outlook. People, whether you're in the business-to-business world or business-to-consumer, you've got to catch people on the fly, and they may be, you know, screening your email on a mobile device and then reading it later on an iPad, or they may be, you know, only being able to be communicated with on a social network like Facebook. So increasingly, you know, the inbox isn't just that traditional notion of how we've all spent the last 10 years. And I know some people that only communicate with friends and brands to a certain extent, you know, on social networks. And then there are other people that only use their, you know, their laptop. And then there's some that the iPhone provides everything they need, and that, you know, the email client capabilities are really strong on that. So it's, you know, it's not the one-size-fits-all, although that probably never has been the case with email, but knowing that, you know, people are reacting differently. Some, they may just be scanning it, performing mobile triage. So you almost just want to pass the don't delete me phase so that you can get read later. In other cases, you know, it's about rendering in creative and subject lines where, you know, your goal isn't for rich images because your audience is primarily reading it on a mobile device. So you just want to get, show up okay and get a clear call to action and let them move on. Other ways, it's, you know, communicating in a different voice on social networks than you would through, quote-unquote, more traditional channels. So I think it's the taking different and unique approaches in your permission marketing is really a dramatic shift. And one of my personal pet peeves is I call it the cut and paste marketer, where, you know, generally it's a company that has one person responsible for everything, and I can't blame them if resources are strapped. But I don't think that Twitter, Facebook, email, LinkedIn, MySpace, you know, Foursquare, everything should essentially have the exact same content. I don't think they should even have the same voice. I think often, you know, your best customers are going to be following you wherever you are. Twitter, you know, they're going to be signing up for your email. They're going to be fans on Facebook. So why would you put the exact same content on all three places? Because essentially, you know, they've opted into your messages the three different places. So I believe that you really need to give them unique messaging, unique benefits to all of those, you know, whether it's one person that gets all, you know, in all places or it's across the board varies. So I think that's a big shift, is don't just expect that person to be reading, you know, your email at the same place at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with the different messages on the different mediums, because if you have the same message, people are only going to join one and not pay attention to the others.
Yeah, and I think one of the other big trends, and this is where the financial difficulties of the past couple of years have helped make marketers work a little harder and be smarter, that finally, you know, we've all been sitting on all of this great data that email marketing campaigns produce, and most people don't really do much with it. And people have been forced to leverage their email program a little bit better, maybe their partners, and ultimately using their data. We've seen our clients really produce incredible results when not only are they building richer profiles on their customers, but also using the metrics to develop, you know, more beneficial programs and, you know, more segmented, targeted messages based on the fact that Tim, you know, clicked on an email, but he didn't buy from us, so he should get a different email than the person that didn't open an email versus the person that opened, clicked, and converted. You know, using that rich behavioral data that email and online can provide to you to develop custom campaigns. You know, the days of one-size-fits-all broadcast email consistently really should be a thing of the past. It's not quite yet, but I think that a lot of companies took big leaps in terms of their email program sophistication because all of a sudden they had people breathing down their neck saying, you know, our email program generates 30% of our revenue. Are we doing everything we can? So whether it means, you know, hiring the right partners or just performing more tests and squeezing a little more value out of it, I think we saw a lot of growth and maturity of email marketing as an industry and companies using it in the past 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's one good thing. I agree with you about the economy. And I think email can be more targeted, that a lot of people just don't do it. It's more time invasive, I know, but I think the results are better if you actually go in and target a little bit better than a lot of people doing. Like you said, I still get emails from retailers, which are the broad send out to everyone. And then you have the smart ones that you can tell they're targeted just to you and what you've done with the company. So,
right. I mean, I know, you know, Delta Airlines has a ton of data on me. I've been a frequent flyer for, you know, dozen years or so, yet I still get emails with special offers about, you know, flying out of New York, flying out of Louisville, flying out of San Francisco. You know, it just makes no sense where they know I'm based in Atlanta and 90% of my flights have originated out of Atlanta. I should get solely custom emails. And it's that those kind of companies that have the data already that aren't using it are missing out, because that's clearly an opportunity of lost revenue. If they can deliver more targeted emails based on the data they have, segment it, then they probably would get me flying their airline a little bit more.
Definitely. That's kind of strange for Delta, but I guess they have other priorities right now, so
Right, yeah. And that, you know, that's certainly a struggle for any marketer, is how do you make those priorities? And unfortunately, email's reputation of being, you know, easy and often inexpensive leads to not getting the team mm-hmm. or the resources and right partners and vendors involved with a program that otherwise should, given its ROI of, you know, close to $50 per dollar spent on it. I mean, most companies would probably throw more people and resources at email, but email has that stigma of, oh, it's cheap and easy. And anyone that's ever done email marketing knows that email is neither easy and it's only cheap if you're not looking to generate much benefits and ROI out of it. You know, you get for what you pay for it, and email marketing for any companies is going to be a program that needs the right amount of time and resources to make it successful.
Definitely, yeah, because I know more and more companies are starting, even smaller companies are starting email programs, and hopefully more and more tools, I know going forward, are going to help them target and be able to do more things. So let's hope bigger companies and everyone catches on to that, because I think the sales opportunities are huge if you do it right. But like you said, I think so many people are just like, oh, we just send it out, we get results, okay, fine. And until something right. changes, they're not really going to invest in it. So, which is kind of stupid on marketers' parts, because you can't just sit there, because marketing these days changes so fast that you have to keep on top of it. And if you fall behind, it's much harder to catch up these days as before, when it was just print, radio, TV, because there's so much out there right now. Mm-hmm. And so many options for people to look at. So it just amazes me at times, though. But one other thing I want to talk to you about is, how is the socialization from the user's part going to affect email marketing in the future? I know we have like Google Buzz out there now, and Facebook is doing who knows what in the future, because they're constantly coming out with new things. How is that going to affect marketers sending emails, dealing with consumers now have Buzz, have Facebook, have a lot of different tools at their disposal?
Well, I think deliverability for marketers is always going to be a challenge, given the unique nature of what it takes for email marketers to get to the inbox. You know, it's been a big change before, where you used to hear the magic, avoid these words, exclamation point, all caps, subject lines, and you'll get email. You know, you get your email delivered, and that may have been somewhat accurate. Now it's gone to much more of a reputation based, where you've got the ISPs, the gatekeepers of the world, being a lot more subjective and picky in terms of, well, this email isn't spam, but I don't see any value, or they send too many emails, I'm not letting it through. And that's a big dramatic shift. And all of a sudden, if you add some other big players like Google and Facebook that can have closed networks and control what emails get through, that's going to present another big challenge. But I think, you know, email marketing at its core is about delivering value, benefits to your subscribers, making it real, making their life better in exchange for the permission of sending marketing messages. So with that in mind, I think that we can panic now, or we can focus on delivering the best types of emails to our customers. I truly do believe that if you follow the general what's right for your customer and best practices, and keep your eye on the ball, you're going to get your emails delivered, and you're going to get your emails responded to, regardless of whether it's Project Titan, you know, being the new 800-pound gorilla or whatever it may be. But I think that keeping your eye on the ball is always the way to go.
Definitely. I think that's the best advice, because so many people just want just what's good for them, short-term sale, but think long-term and you'll do good, especially in email. I think that's the best advice I've heard about email in a long time. So I guess that's all I have for today. So I guess we'll wrap it up.
Great. Well, Tim, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Always good to talk to another digital marketer with the interest in knowing what's going on out there in the email world. Look forward to hearing your other podcasts with some other interesting guests.
Definitely. Yeah, we have a bunch more coming up. I have a list of 20-some-odd people I've already asked and have agreed. So it's just now nailing down the time. So, but I will say we're doing a 3-part series with Chris Kovac from Nicholson Kovac about how actually to integrate social into your marketing communication. So we've already got it planned. We just have to record it. So that's coming soon. But I want to thank you for being on the podcast again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Look forward to connecting again soon.
Thanks, and have a good week, people. Thank you for listening to Marketing Elements Podcast. You can reach me at tim@marketingelementsblog.com. You can find us on the web at marketingelementsblog.com. Look for us on Facebook or find us on Ning. It's marketingelements.ning.com. Thanks again, and we'll have another podcast out to you very soon.